Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? Amen. 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 Welcome to Eagle Mountain International Church. I knew that you woke up this morning, you were thinking, my goodness, I'm going to learn something from the Word today. Amen. And if you did not think that, then think it now. Glory to God. My name is Pastor John. I'm an associate pastor here at Eagle Mountain International Church. I want to welcome everybody who's here, sitting in the room with us, and all of you who are watching us from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle. Welcome to the revival capital of the world. We're so excited. Amen. We're so excited and thankful that you chose to join us this morning. Whether you're watching this in the morning, well, it's morning for me. So if you're watching this later on, then we're thankful that you joined us whenever it is you joined us. But we're going to learn something brand new from the Word of God. Before we get started this morning, though, it's on my heart to just honor our pastors. Don't we have wonderful pastors? Yes. Pastor George and Pastor Terry. I always tell people, listen, if anything good comes out of my mouth, it's because of Jesus and Pastor George and Terry. Yeah, you can hold them responsible for all the good stuff. Anything bad comes out of my mouth is because of Pastor Gene. No, I'm kidding. Good morning, sir. You didn't do anything. Good morning. How are you doing? Praise God. Praise God. I just wanted to see if you were awake. That's all. Amen. Amen. All right. Open your Bibles to James chapter 1. Last week, we ended up talking, we started off talking about, and this whole 3-week study is about applying the Word of God. And we kind of laid a foundation, and the first thing that we established is this. A lot of people will ask things like, how do you apply the Word of God to your real life? And this concept that there is a real life versus a fake life, like the other life, you know, that other one that I live when nobody else is watching, you know, that other life that does not include all of you crazy spiritual people. You know, and so I want to know how to get the Word of God from my pretend life over into my real life. And I know that that's not the sentiment of people when they ask that question. The sentiment is, how do I become a doer of the Word? Or how do I apply the Word to the circumstances that are happening in my life or around me? But I want you to understand something. And so I want to just kind of take a moment, though, and debunk this idea that there is a such thing as a real life versus a fake life. This is not theory. This is not theory, okay? So we're not here to educate your brain. We are here to allow your mind to be renewed out of the place of your spirit. It would be okay if your spirit was much bigger than your brain. Because out of the abundance of your heart, out of the place of your being would come ideas, concepts, understanding that you didn't even know was there. So I'm good with your spirit being more developed than your carnal natural mind. That's okay. But a lot of times our natural mind is more developed than our spirit. And so we try to figure it out before we let God from the inside of us live it out. You see what I'm saying? If you live from the inside out, you repel things that are on the outside that are coming at you. If you live from the outside in, then you are affected and you react to the things that are on the outside, and it affects what's going on the inside. Which is why the Word of God does not say, out of the abundance of your situations, your mouth speaks. It doesn't say that. Glory to God. Glory to God, because the person who's serving me at the drive-thru would be in trouble. If out of the abundance of my situations, or out of the abundance of the now, or out of the abundance of what's happening around me, or out of the abundance of the moment my mouth were to speak, then I'm liable. Don't want to say, right? But out of the abundance of my heart, the mouth speaks. If my heart is full of the greater one, he dwells within me in abundance, then I'm only going to say what I hear him say, regardless of what everything else around me is expecting me to say. This is how you shock the devil. Because you're not supposed to be happy. You're not supposed to be in joy. You're not supposed to be excited. You weren't supposed to get up this morning. Everybody else is in the bed, and that's why there's no traffic on Sunday morning. You weren't supposed to do certain things, but you did it anyway. And the enemy is not thrown off by you being in a routine unless that routine is dictated from the place of your spirit, because that always shocks him. You will always speak and be in joy when you're not supposed to be in joy. This is what lets you laugh at the devil. You know how we talk about laughing at the devil? Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. That's easy to do when you're in this room. That's easy. And the devil is expecting you to be able to do it in the room, because you're with all those other people who ha ha ha. But you're supposed to ha 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 at home. You're supposed to ha 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 at your job. You need to be ha ha ha, and when they tell you that you got to leave or you got to move, you being evicted or kicked out, you need to ha 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 when you're in an argument or in a fuss or in a fight. You need to ha 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 when your body ain't doing what your body's supposed to be doing. It's not lining up with the word of God. Why? Because that ha 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 is what the Bible talks about when he says he laughs at the devil. The devil's trying his hardest, but he laughs at the devil. Amen. So this is all about having your mind renewed. And that's the reason I know some of you are looking up here. That's the reason why there's this big yield sign here this morning. Anybody notice the yield sign?
Yes.
Y'all probably came in here and just ignored the yield sign. Like the people ignore the yield sign when you drive around the roundabout. Don't be those people. All right. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I have this yield sign here because I want you to constantly, in the spirit of your mind, have this sign imprinted in the spirit of your mind, in your mind. This sign needs to be imprinted somewhere inside of you. What does this sign mean? Well, the sign I was looking for a yellow one. I never really realized that it's not yellow. You're not supposed to slow down. Supposed to stop. It's red. Yield does not mean to slow down. Yield means to stop. To stop. That's why it's red. Right? I had Mandy searching for her. I was like, find me a yellow one. She's like, they don't make yellow ones. I'm like, there's got to be a yellow one. Why? Because in my mind, yielding is a whole lot easier when I can just slow down. I'm getting too far in my notes now. I'm just trying to set some background, all right? But I want this sign imprinted in your thinking as we go through what we're going to go through this morning, okay? All right, let's look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 21 in the King James Version of the Bible says this: wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Some versions of the Bible say the implanted word. All right, that's important. It's in you, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The Amplified Classic Version of the Bible says this: but be doers of the word, obey the message, and not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth, by reasoning that is contrary to the truth. Now, the interesting thing is the beginning of this scripture says, be doers. Last week, we set a precedent. We talked about being statements. A being statement isn't something that is a good idea. A being statement, an I am statement, a statement of who you are in your very essence, that statement indicates your nature and character as you have been reborn by the word of God. So Peter tells us that we are reborn, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. You've been born of incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. And that word lives and abides. Where does it abide? On the inside of you forever. It is a perpetual word on the outside, but it's a perpetual word also on the inside. So being a doer of the word is not a momentary action. It's a state of existence. Being a doer of the word is not a momentary action. So it's not that when certain situations happen, I am then a doer of the word. It is, I am constantly in the place of being the doer of the word of God. I'm always a doer of the word of God, and I'm always ready to do the word of God. Now, this gets a little bit, like I said, I'm a little bit ahead in my notes already, but this is the essence of the sign that should be on the inside of you at all times. I am constantly looking to yield to the word of God. In all of my ways, I'm acknowledging him. He is directing my path on a constant basis. So being a doer of the word of God doesn't indicate your action as much as it indicates your nature. Now this is, we're talking about applying the word of God to your life situations. Well, here's the thing. You don't need to wait until you have a situation to learn to apply it. If you constantly apply it, you will automatically in every situation be a doer of the word of God. So you don't have to wait until you get a diagnosis to figure out how to respond to the diagnosis. You don't have to wait until you're having kid problems to figure out how to respond to your teenager. You don't have to wait until you have a financial problem to figure out the laws of prosperity. If you are a being that is steeped in doing the word of God, your doing will come out of your being. Y'all get that? If you are constantly in the place of a being that is fixed on doing what the word says, your doing will come out of your being. And not your being coming out of your doing. But sometimes our being has come out of our doing. We did that. So we be that. No, that's not the case. This will help you with your understanding of your nature, the nature of salvation. Because if my being is in him, my doing comes out of my being in him. My being is no longer defined by what I do. It's about who I'm in. And who's in me. You understand what I'm saying? So my being, my definition is no longer defined by what my activity is or used to be. My being is now defined by who he is and who he says that I am. I've been recreated. I am a new creature. I've been born again. So when I was first born, there was a certain nature on the inside of me, but my second birth, my rebirth, recreated who I am. And so my being now, a baby, a male baby is a man. You do realize that, right? That's why we call a man child, a woman child. A male baby is a man. It's just a matter of that male child, that man child growing into a man, growing up into who he already is. He's not a man when he gets to 21. Oh, this will help you with your raising of your children too, because you're not raising good kids. All right. Don't be dismayed when your child does crazy. You're not raising a good child. You're raising a good man, a good woman. And if we have to go through some processes to get to the product, that's okay, because I have a promise concerning the product. And the product is who they are. The process is simply an indicator of what they do. But one day what they do is going to match who they are. All right. That's not in my notes. All right. Glory to God. So application of the word of God to your everyday life is not a wait and see process. You must make the quality decision to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Faith comes by hearing, but faith without action dies. Let that sink in for a second. Faith without action dies. As I didn't say it. I didn't make that up. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the So when you hear the word of God, faith comes, right? Watch this. James chapter 2, verse 14 through 17 says this. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus, also by itself, if it does not have works, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is... Okay, come on. It's the Bible. Y'all can be a little more enthusiastic. It's the word. Some of y'all looking at me with that. Have you ever whistled to a dog? And they go. Some of the best videos, right? Some of y'all are giving me that look, right? Faith that does not have corresponding action is not faith. James says it's dead. What does that mean? That means I always have to be ready to do what the word says. Not just believe it, but do it. Faith comes by hearing, but you walk faith out by doing what you heard. Why? Because I believe it. Remember my example with the table? If I told you a table is right here and it's a beautiful table, it's right here, and by faith I believe that a table's right here, but then I walk right through the middle of it, do I believe that the table is right there? No, I didn't do what I told you, right? But if I tell you a table is right here and it's a beautiful table, and by faith I believe I have a table, and I walk around this table, I'm gonna tell you right now, Pastor Terry is the queen of setting the example for this. All right? Because we took cardboard boxes and put them on the second floor of the SLC while we were believing for the furniture to go on the SLC. And we moved cardboard boxes and rearranged them jokers like Legos. Every time we did anything on the second floor of the SLC, we would take a box and move it here, take a box and move it here. And we would move those boxes with absolute care as though we were moving real furniture. Why? Because faith can see it before it manifests. But if you don't behave like what you see is real, then you're just hoping, you're not in faith. That's why faith is the substance of that which is hoped for. You have to behave as though substance exists. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have to behave. Don't wait till you get rich to act rich. We'll walk around my table and get back to my notes. Don't wait till you get rich to act rich. Because if you wait to get rich to act rich, you won't get rich. You are already rich. The Bible says so. You own everything your father owns. So start acting like it. When you understand who you are in Christ, it will raise your level of activity because some things become beneath you. This helps you with applying the word of God. There's some activity that is just beneath you, and you're not above the people who do those things, but you are above those things. You're better than that. Sleepy bunch this morning. That's okay. We're going to wake up. Acting on the word of God requires a departure from conventional reasoning and wisdom, a higher level of activity. Anybody ever heard the word supernatural? Yeah. Supernatural indicates higher than the natural. Now, that doesn't mean that acting on the word of God will always seem anti-reasonable or against all logic. That's not what that means. That's not what that means. That just means that when you act on the word of God, it may not look like the things that you've done in the past. That's why it's so important that you're ready to yield to a higher, a supernatural understanding of the word of God. Now, this is not in my notes. I'm just saying that for the prompter, folks. But I want you to real quick go to Hebrews. Go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And I just want to paint this picture for you. Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to go to verse 3. All right. Actually, let's just start at verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. What did they do? Obtained is an action item. That's an action word. They got it. They didn't, a good testimony was given to them by their faith because of their action in faith. And if you read the rest of Hebrews chapter 11, it's not just what they believed, it's what they did. It's not just what they believed, it's what they did. It describes the behavior of faith. Now watch this. Verse 3. By faith, we understand. By faith, we understand. Now, I'm going to read the rest of the scripture, but I want you to get that. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. By faith, we understand that everything that we see was created out of something that you could not see and framed, given its shape, by the word of God. But look at that first statement. By faith, we understand. Understanding does not precede faith. Understanding is an after effect of what you believe by faith. So you don't have to understand it to believe it. You believe it, therefore you understand it. Some of us are trying to understand God's ways as opposed to just believing his ways. When you believe his ways, understanding supernaturally will come, and you are to yield to that understanding that is supernatural or above your natural reasoning. By faith, we understand. You may not get it in your head, but your spirit is getting it. You may not get it in your head, but your spirit is getting it. I heard Pastor George make a statement last week. He said, some of the laughter that we do in the spirit is tongues. And some people were like, your head just went phew, because everything that you understand in the natural about speaking in the spirit or about tongues or about that supernatural language has all dictated words. You may not understand it in your carnal, natural mind, but in that moment, your spirit was licensed to participate and do something that you need to be done beyond your understanding. That's why praying in tongues is so extraordinarily important. Why? Because your mind may not know what you're praying, but your spirit needs to bypass your mind. Because if you only do what you understand, you'll only get the level of your understanding. And what you need is beyond your understanding. So you've got to be able to participate over in a realm that you don't understand. And in order to participate in that realm where you don't understand it, it takes a supernatural acceleration of your understanding that only comes by acting in faith. It only comes by acting by faith. You can't understand it by acting in the natural, but you'll understand it when you act in faith. Does that make sense? I know it's not, but that's okay. It don't make sense. It ain't supposed to make sense just yet. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are what? Higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The word ways literally indicates a manner or a habit or a course of life. It's the way in which God moves. It references the way in which God moves, and it's a method of activity. So when God says my ways are higher than your ways, what he's really saying is my activity is higher than your activity. So if you act like I act, you'll get what I act. But understand, my actions are higher than what you understand in your carnal mind. I may tell you to do something that makes no sense in the natural, but you get supernatural results. We do that with tithing. Take 100% of your money, give 10% of your money, and you'll be able to do better, more with the 90% than you are with the 10%, than you are with the 100%. That doesn't make sense even in grocery shopping. If I take 100% of my money, leave out 10% of it, I'm going to be able to only purchase 10% less groceries than what I would have as if I took 100% of my money with me to the grocery store, right? Because the grocery man is not supernatural. The grocery man is natural, and he set natural prices. Amen? Amen. I'm gonna be able to buy 10% less ground beef because it costs by the pound. Doesn't make sense in the natural. And if I only act in the natural, I'm only going to get what my 100% of my natural income can purchase. But here's the thing about your natural income and the 100% of your natural income. You got supernatural dreams. Amen. You're taking your $10 an hour job, but you want to break the poverty cycle. Oh, come on, y'all. You got supernatural. You got big dreams. You got big dreams, and they're beyond the natural. So you don't need your natural money having a natural nature. You need what you have in the natural to take on a supernatural nature and go far beyond what it can purchase in the natural. So the word of God, which is a supernatural word, says take 100% of your money, give me 10%, connect to my system of economy, and the 90% left over will have a supernatural nature attached to it that will allow you to do more than you could ever even imagine with 100%. Not only that, but I'll protect that 90% because my nature is on it, right? I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake so that it won't go away. It won't run out like your natural money, but it'll operate like my supernatural nature, which says I would that you bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. You have a remaining amount. My ways are higher. So God has a higher level of activity than we have. And applying God's ways indicates, or it necessitates, that you understand that you're going to have to yield to his ways. The sign is red, which means you're going to have to stop what you're doing and say, God, what do you want me to do? And I can't sign. Sometimes what you got to, I'm getting too far in my notes, but you're going to learn to spiritually discern what's stopping you from doing what God wants you to do, because you can't do them both at the same time. Sometimes what you're doing is fine. You just need to surrender it to God and let his nature be on what you're doing. That's why there's a difference between being charitable and sowing seed. Just being a good person and doing so supernaturally with God's nature on it. You can do the same thing. Two people can do the exact same thing. One do something by faith and one do something outside of faith. The exact same thing, but get different results. Acting in faith, watch this, requires joy. It requires joy. Why? Well, because my joy shocks the devil. You ain't supposed to be laughing. Why you laughing? Why you laughing? Why you laughing? You remember the conversation you had last night with your kid? You ought not be laughing. You know what your daughter told you when she came home yesterday? You ought not be laughing. The doctor said you're going to die. You ought not be laughing. What are you laughing for? You can't pay that bill. Why are you laughing? You ought not be laughing. Now, who do you think you are? Remember that laugh from last week? Who do you think you are laughing? You can't laugh. Do you know what's going on? Listen, you can listen to those crazy religious fanatics all you want to, but what the truth of the matter is, the fact of the matter is, and that's when you go, ha ha ha, Mr. Devil. No, the truth of the matter is, because the truth will trump the fact. So laughing or joy is your secret weapon, which is what Pastor George taught last week, right? Joy is how you demonstrate and apply an uncommon faith. You demonstrate and apply an uncommon faith through your joy. Amen. Y'all remember that? In case you don't remember, let's take a peek at it. Watch this video.
We're not just talking about something giddy. We're talking about a spiritual movement that takes place. We're talking about something that changes you. Joy. Joy, which is a fruit of the Spirit. It is a product of the Spirit. But it must be exercised in the same way that love is exercised. Patience is exercised. You have to exercise that joy muscle. The joy muscle that you have has to be developed. Maybe the love muscle is something that you've been developing. But there's spiritual muscles that have to be developed, and joy is one of them. Joy is one of those muscles that has to be developed. Joy is one of the forces of the recreated human spirit. Joy, and this is the title of the message, joy is our secret weapon. It is a secret weapon, and do not underestimate it. Do not underestimate the joy of the Lord. It is your strength. It will heal your body. It will bring peace to your mind. It will change the way you think. Using that joy muscle. And as we just read in Habakkuk 3, it is an act of faith. Habakkuk was acting by faith, even though this is going wrong. I mean, you fill in the blanks there. Even though that's happening and that's happening and that's happening, the key words are, yet I will rejoice. Yet I will rejoice. Now, it's easy when you watch Jesse and you listen to him tell a story like that. But when you're facing something, something serious, there's an act that has to be taken by faith. It's called a faith laugh. And to get yourself over into a place of a position of authority in joy. In joy.
Now, did you hear that? When you take that faith laugh, it positions you in authority. Okay, now, wait a minute. Just let that sink in. Why is that? Well, joy, what he said was joy is one of the forces of the recreated spirit. If you understand joy is not just a state of excitement, but a force. A state of excitement requires something to get you hyped up, like a pep rally. But a force is something that can be used and employed at will. There's always that potential that's on the inside of you, and it's just waiting to release. It's kind of like having a 9mm in your hand. Like if you got a gun in your hand, there is inside that gun the potential force. It's just waiting to be released by your action. Your joy is pulling the trigger. Just requires you to yield. Hear the yield statement, what the scripture he was referencing, Habakkuk chapter 3. Listen, all of this is happening. 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 It's kind of like going around that roundabout. This is happening. This is happening. This is happening. But I see that sign. I go, but I will have joy. I will have joy. That's yielding to a higher level of understanding. So in order to be able to do that, we need to know some things, right? Corresponding action, applying what the word says to your life, has to be done with two things working simultaneously. You have to discern the wisdom of God and yield to his wisdom. There's a reason why, because if you don't discern the wisdom of God, you will think your wisdom is his wisdom. Discerning the wisdom of God, discernment is a gift of the Spirit, which means it's available to all Spirit-filled believers. Brother Copeland says this, the gifts of the Spirit do not operate absent the fruit of the Spirit. What are the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So as you start to operate in this fruit of the Spirit, the discerning factor or the gift of the Spirit flows from that act, from that acting. What is the first fruit of the Spirit? Love. So the more I act in love, the more I'm going to be able to discern the fruit of, or the gifts, or the wisdom of God, or operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Here's how that operates. Someone says something that upsets you. If you respond in kind, that's not an action in the fruit of the Spirit. But love will force you to yield a second and drop down into Jesus. You start to consider the whys, the whats, the what happens if I do that. Don't allow me. I don't want to go there. I want to stay planted here. I'm a doer of the word. And if I get outside of doing the word, I'm only going to get the carnal result. Discerning of spirits is a manifestation of the Spirit. Watch this. There are diversities of gifts. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 10. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, watch this, but the same God who works in all. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith, that special faith or the gift of faith, by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits, and to another different kind of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. How? By the same Spirit. So the more I'm willing to yield to the Spirit, the more I see these in operation. You can't just automatically expect these to be in operation without your yielding to the Spirit. I had you, and then I lost you. You cannot expect these gifts to be in operation unless you're willing to do what the red sign says. That's stop carnal nature and get into supernatural nature. Now, this should help you with applying the word of God to your situations. Everybody wants to know what to do. Well, the Bible is replete with what to do. It's how to do it. It's understanding his ways. Not just the word, but his ways. What's in the word? Those of you who follow Brother Copeland, I would encourage you to endeavor to not just hear what the man says, but hear what's in what he says. Because words are containers. Hear what's in what he says. The spirit of what is being said. Because the spirit of what is being said will change you. Just focusing on what is being said will allow you to do good activity for a little while. But the spirit of what is being said will put roots on the inside of you, so out of you will grow the same activity. Discernment, the definition of discernment, is distinguishing or judging or making a judicial estimation. It means being able to sort things out and put them in their right place. Now watch this. There is a spirit of wisdom associated with the wisdom of God. Isaiah chapter 11 verses 1 and 2 says, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." Now watch what the spirit of the Lord is. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, which is why you can't understand unless you do so by faith. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. There's a spirit associated, or let me say it this way. God's spirit is associated with God's wisdom. Our Romans 8 tells us our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are sons of God. So the wisdom of God will bear witness with your spirit. It won't always bear witness with your flesh. It won't always bear witness with your emotions. It won't always bear witness with your thoughts. It won't always bear witness with your logic, but it will always bear witness with your spirit. All right. Now watch this. God's wisdom is not the same as natural or carnal wisdom. Remember the scripture that we read in James chapter 1, verse 22. It says that if you are a doer, if you're a hearer only of the word of God, you deceive yourselves. Now watch this. Deceiving, that word deceiving, is a Greek word which means to be misled with persuasion or logical reasoning. To be misled by your own logic. If I read the word of God, but I say, you know, that don't make any sense in real life. You can't do that in real life. You can't live like that in real life. You can't live like that on your job. What am I doing? I'm allowing my logical reasoning to deceive me away from the wisdom of God. Now, next week, I'm going to teach you that allowing that logical reasoning to deceive you away from the wisdom of God is actually allowing that logical reasoning to deceive you from being who you are. It's leading you away from being who you are. All right, we'll get into that next week. Colossians chapter 2, verse 4 uses the exact same word. It says, now this I say, lest anyone deceive you or mislead you, watch this, with persuasive words. You persuade yourself out of doing what the word of God says you ought to do. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 in the Passion Translation. In the Passion Translation, I love this. Watch this. Don't think for a moment that you know it all. For wisdom comes when you adore him with undivided devotion. What kind of devotion? Undivided devotion, and avoid everything that's wrong. God knows that in your carnal, natural state, you can't avoid everything that's wrong. But when you yield, when you stop doing what you've been doing and start doing what he says you to do, supernaturally, you can get out of the carnal nature. You remember when the word says, when by living in the spirit, you put to death the carnal nature? Living in the spirit or acting by faith, you put to death that which is carnal on the inside of you. It'll change your nature. Remember in James chapter 1, at the beginning it says, receive the engrafted or implanted word of God on the inside of you, which is able to do what? Save your soul. You put to death that which is heartbreaking for you by doing what God told you to do. Oh, come on now. Wait a minute. I'm going to help you with some heartbreak. You want to get out of your heartbreak? Be committed. Take all of the force that you have of being angry with whoever hurt you. Forgive that person. Take all of that and start doing with force and ferocity what you know you're called to do. And in that activity, you will put to death that which has been destroying your soul. Why? Because I've decided to develop a supernatural nature. It works, doesn't it? I heard somebody say it works. It works. Watch this. James chapter 3. This is great. Let's see. James chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. We'll get through all of it. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good what? By good what? Conduct. Demonstrate your wisdom by what? Conduct. Come on, y'all. It's okay to say what the word says. It's the Bible. It's the Bible, right? Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. The meekness of wisdom. The yielding of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. That's allowing love to inform your supernatural nature or to allow you to get out of your carnal nature. Watch this. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Now, sensual does not mean sexual. Sensual means it appeals to the senses. It feels good to be angry at someone who's angry at you. But that's not the wisdom of God. It feels good to repay someone for their wrong, but that's not the wisdom of God. Earthly wisdom is, what does he say? He says it is earthly, sensual, or sensible. It appeals to the senses and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. I think other versions of the word says strife. Where strife exists, there's self-seeking, envy, and every evil thing. But watch this. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, willing to yield, full of mercy, willing to,
yield.
Willing to,
yield.
Willing. Come on, y'all. Willing to,
yield.
Willing to yield. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The definition of yielding: to give up and cease resistance or contention and submit to urging, persuasion, and entreaty. To entreat someone is to urge them with a strong appeal. God is making his wisdom appeal. And here's the thing: God is always sending you his wisdom. Why? Because he's always speaking. He wouldn't tell you to be a listener. He wouldn't say that faith comes by hearing unless he was always speaking. He wouldn't tell you to be a listener. He wouldn't tell you to hear it if he wasn't saying it. His wisdom is always coming at you. The question is, come here, Samuel. The question is, thank you, buddy. Do you catch it? Are you willing to yield? The King James Bible says, easy to be entreated. The Greek translation is, you're easy to obey and comply. Here's another picture of yielding. I'm not going to talk about football today, although football is happening. We'll talk about baseball. All right. I didn't play baseball in high school or college. And I know just a limited amount about the game, which is why I became a star in church league softball. Totally kidding. I was mediocre at best. But what I did learn is this. I bought this glove brand new. When you buy a brand new glove, the leather on the glove is stiff. Right? The leather on the glove is stiff. You can't effectively play ball with a stiff glove because the glove just wants to lay open. And if you have an open ball, it didn't take me long to understand that if my glove was constantly open, even if the ball hit my glove, I was going to drop it. It's the simple things in life. Right? So I know people who take gloves and put them in ovens or wrap them with twine or put extra oil on them and work them. But what I do know is this: you have to work this glove to make it malleable or able to be manipulated, because if it's not an extension of your hand on the field and it's just open, it won't be effective for you. What am I doing with this glove? I'm making it yield. If you're stiff and rigid and you refuse to be moved off of what you know is right, then you're like this glove when it was brand new. But if you're willing to allow the word to work you and move you and bend you and stretch you, God, Jesus, who lives on the inside of you, that implanted word that is on the inside of you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30 says, Jesus has been made unto us wisdom. Listen, this scripture says the wisdom that is from God comes down from above. Just because it says it comes down from above, it's from above, but it does not reside above. It resides in you. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. But I don't reside in Atlanta, Georgia. Why? That'd be a long drive to work. Atlanta, Georgia shaped a lot of my nature. It shaped a lot of my understanding in the natural. But when I moved and I now reside in a place from which I operate. Wisdom from God is from God, and it has his nature and his character attached to it. But it's not above you anymore. It's on the inside of your heart.
Yes, yes.
And it operates from the inside of you like my hand operates operates on the inside of this glove. This glove doesn't do anything on its own, but when something on the inside of it is moving it and making it act, it becomes an extension of the thing that's on the inside of it. Your wisdom that's on the inside of you will move you and show you how to apply the word of God, and you will become an extension of Almighty God himself if you're willing to yield. Some of y'all need to get ready for this service this morning. When Pastor George says something, in that moment, make up your mind, I'm going to yield to it. Even if I don't understand it, I'm going to yield to it. Even if I don't get it, I'm going to yield to it. Even if it doesn't make any sense to me, I'm going to yield to it. What does yielding do? It allows God to move you. It allows him to move you. And you'll find yourself with your doing coming out of your being. Does that make sense? Does that help you this morning?
Yes.
Well, glory to God. I know Pastor George has a phenomenal word for us this morning. I'm excited for it. I'm going to give you guys a break. You guys take a break too. The folks in the back are going to be talking to you for a little bit, but come back. Don't go anywhere. Get a sip of water. Come back. 10 a.m. is going to be awesome. We'll see you then.